From Milwaukee to Marshfield, where passion meets purpose and policy meets people, this is the Maggie Dawn Show.
We as Republicans, as Democrats, as independents, as liberals and conservatives,
get ready to challenge the status quo with a fresh perspective on the issues that matter to you.
If it was bad before today, I cannot believe how much worse it has gotten.
If we don't band together and protest, our democracy will be gone.
Breaking down the complex world of policy and politics with clarity, conviction, and just the right amount of fun.
And I'm freaked the frickin' frack out.
Lawyer, economist, and fearless advocate for the truth, here is Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody. What day is it? Most days I don't know anymore because there's just a torrent of news. My name's Maggie Dawn. It is actually Thursday. Happy Thursday afternoon to each and every one of you. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Let me start with some network business. We are now in free ticket Friday giveaway time periods. Starting tomorrow and throughout the summer, I'm going to be giving away on Fridays during the show a set of four tickets to the Brewers game and Civic Media's wonderful loge-level tickets. So you're going to want to tune in to when you're going to have to text the keyword of the show. It's not going to be in an hour. We're giving you more time. Keyword of the show, you're going to have to text it via the app. So go ahead, get ready. We're going to start the giveaway tomorrow. Get that app wherever you like to get your apps for. It is free. And we've got a very special show lined up for you today. We're going to talk about the risks that online criminals pose to our children in a number of particularly heartbreaking cases. We're going to talk about some legislation that has been introduced in the state of Wisconsin that I think every single one of us needs to care about. Where they're going to have a broader discussion about cybersecurity from a national policy and a national security perspective. So it's going to be a very wide-ranging conversation this afternoon. I sure hope you can stick around with us for the entire 2 hours. We've got great guests coming your way. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about those in just a moment, but I have to start with the breaking news of the day. There is a ton of it. Let's start locally, shall we? The new superintendent at Milwaukee Public Schools has accessed, which doesn't mean layoff, but I'll get to that in a moment, has accessed over 181 administrative employees. Only 40 of those are straight up job cuts, like they won't exist anymore. The other 140 people will have to reapply for their jobs, some of which are getting reorganized within MPS. I'll just tell you this, know a ton of teachers. I talk about education all the time on this program. Every single teacher friend that I know was pumped about this. Like, enough of the administration, right? Enough of the managers of managers of managers. Let's get more people into the classrooms. They were pretty excited about that. So that's really locally down here in southeastern Wisconsin. Now let's turn to the state. Hi, folks up there in Rhinelander and the northwest and northeast portions of the state, all the way down here to southwest Wisconsin in the Madison area. Nice to see and hear from all of you this afternoon. Josh Collar, Attorney General, and Governor Evers announcing today a lawsuit has been filed against the Trump administration, specifically suing Sean Duffy, Secretary of Transportation, challenging the rescinding and the cutting off of funds that had been granted to the state related to electric vehicles. That will be, frankly, fascinating to watch. Perhaps even more importantly to all of us across the state, Mark Elias, who runs Democracy Docket and a firm called the Elias Law Group. I'm going to tell you more about him in just a second. He has sued to challenge our congressional maps, our U.S. congressional maps here in the state of Wisconsin, asking to file directly in the Supreme Court of Wisconsin. That's going to be one to watch. If you may have heard, oh, I've heard this guy's name before. Yeah. Mark Elias was once a partner at Perkins Coie, and often represented Democratic candidates, elected officials, Perkins Coie. Yeah, that sounds familiar. That was the first law firm Donald Trump targeted with an executive order. That was all about Mark Elias. So interesting, we're seeing, again, the national politics play out here on our state stage in Wisconsin. We are both the middle of the country and the middle of its political universe as well. Also happening here in the state, police have now arrested the father of the Abundant Life school shooter. You'll recall that terrible tragedy just outside of Madison from this past December. The shooter took her life that day. The father of the shooter has been arrested. That in breaking news today. Also, little bit of news. I come to you from WAUK 540 AM 101.1 FM locally here in southeastern Wisconsin. We got a candidate for the City of Waukesha mayor, Scott Allen, a five-term assembly person, throwing his hat in the ring for the spring 2026 election for Waukesha mayor. I have been talking about Donald Trump's nominee for the U.S. attorney position in the D.C. district. This guy by the name of Ed Martin, who is unqualified in every single sense of the word. He's not going to be the U.S. attorney in the D.C. district. You got to say, that was all the Maggie Don show, right? All of your phone calls to Ron Johnson saying, no, sir, we can't have this guy that's never, ever, ever prosecuted a single criminal case in his life to be the U.S. attorney in the D.C. district. He's out. Three police officers acquitted also today in the beating death of Tyree Nichols. I have not looked into that in any great detail. We will cover that in the coming days. Stick with us. A UK trade deal, I'm going to put air quotes around it, apparently getting announced today. This was the 10% reciprocal tariffs. Just I'm going to call it a context note. U.S.-Britain trade is less than 3% of our overall trade. And this isn't getting rid of the tariffs. They're specifically negotiating around particular products. Nobody's sure if this is actually going to happen. So, you know, let's see what happens. I'm all for having an actual trade policy. Specific, targeted, something that makes sense. Make it make sense. And of course, the biggest news worldwide today. Everybody, you see how I did that? Went from the local to the regional to the state to the national. Now the worldwide news. We have a new pope, white smoke coming from the Sistine Chapel earlier this afternoon, the first American-born pope in the history of the world, the first American-born pope. His name as a cardinal was Robert Francis Prevost. He was just made a cardinal 2 years ago by Pope Francis. He will now be known as Pope Leo XIV. He was a missionary. He graduated from Villanova University in mathematics. Ooh, a fellow data nerd. I have something in common with the Pope in addition to her Catholic upbringings. That was after just over 24 hours of the Conference of Cardinals being in the conclave. There were 133 cardinals voting this time for the new Pope. That is the greatest number, again, ever in the history of the Catholic Church's conclave. The world watching, who will this Pope be? What will it mean? Another just bit of context. This guy has actually checked J.D. Vance about his assertions about Catholicism a couple of times. So what message is being sent here? What comes next? What does this mean for American Catholics? Time will tell. We'll discuss more in the coming days and weeks for sure. With all of that housekeeping business done, got to always talk about the breaking news, ladies and gentlemen. You can always count on that here at Civic Media. We're all about real news and great conversation, and we're going to have one of those. It is my deep privilege and honor to introduce to all of you, to bring on to the show, a man by the name of John DeMay. John, he lost his son to a sextortion scheme. And John, let's just start there. Your son's name, Jordan. This happened back in, 2022? Is that correct?
That's correct. Yes. March 25th, 2022. We just passed the three-year mark here a few weeks ago.
Wow. What is an anniversary no parent ever wants to have to mark. Tell us what sextortion is, John, and what happened with your son, Jordan.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me. Good evening. Sextortion is a scheme typically perpetrated online. It's a lot of times happening through Instagram or Snapchat messaging services. And basically what it is, perpetrators posed to be typically young females in most cases and target young boys for money. There is traditional sextortion, which is targeting for photos and nude images, which isn't quite as prevalent. And a lot of the young ladies get targeted for their pictures, which are then used in the future for other extortionists to then use to target males for money. But essentially, in a financial sextortion scheme, which my son found himself in, and most other young men in this country and the world that have died by suicide from this, it is a scheme where perpetrators reach out innocently, friend request you, try to become friends, you initiate the friendship, you believe that this person is a 14, 15, 16, 17 year old girl. In Jordan's case, it was a 17 year old female who had reached out around 9 o'clock on a Thursday night and just said, hey. And Jordan said, hey, back. And they started communicating, and it starts off small talk. Who are you? What are you about? Where do you go to school? What do you like to do? What do you do for fun? And as that conversation and the suspects start to kind of lead you down this path, they start turning the conversation to a more of a sexual nature, and eventually they're trying to get you to send an explicit picture of them, of yourself the victim. And once that happens, then it becomes extortion. Then the victims find out really quick that it's not this nice 17 young lady, it's actually mostly a man, and oftentimes most of the time overseas from another country. And then you can imagine the horrific extortion pressure that happens thereafter, and that's what my son dealt with. He received his first message around 9 o'clock or so on that Thursday night, and responded for the first time around 10 o'clock. Ironically, the last time that I'd see Jordan, he had just come back to my house. We were supposed to go to Florida with our family. Jordan has two other younger sisters, and we were planning a 2-week Florida vacation that Friday morning. So he wheeled his bag into the house, and that was the last time I saw him. I had gone to bed early that night, and this entire thing happened while I was sleeping. But Jordan had received that first message, started communicating, and they communicated back and forth for several hours until right about 2 o'clock in the morning. And the suspect asked Jordan if he wanted to play a sexy game, and she's bored, and he was kind of him and a han about it. And I eventually she sent him a nude picture of herself and enticed him to do the same, which he did. And when he did that around 2 o'clock in the morning, then of course the light switch flipped, and Jordan found out that Miss Danny Roberts, 17 year old from Georgia, was a 19 year old man from Nigeria. And the pressure and the intense stress that they put him through was immense. It was constant pressure. They knew exactly what to say, when to say it, how to say it. And they asked him for money. They wanted $1,000 to remove the pictures, and he said he didn't have $1,000. They negotiated a little bit, and they determined Jordan offered $300. And when that happened, he sent the money. And at this point, it was just game on, and they wanted more and more and more. And he didn't have more. He just kept trying and going, and they were telling they're uploading a video to Google, and they wanted another $800, and he didn't have $800.
We're going to have to come right back. That's John DeBay.